Our guest today is Dan Scungio, also known as Dan the Lab Safety Man, who happens to be my go-to person for OSHA consultation questions and those hard-to-crack nuts that my newsletter subscribers and callers and those I encounter out on the road are asking me that I just can't have the answer to. And I know I can always get an answer from Dan Scungio. So I want to welcome Dan to our podcast series. Dan, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dennis. It's really a pleasure to be here today.
Yeah, Dan and I go way back for our listeners. We've done the speaking circuit for many years, and we've shared many meals together, and we've talked a lot of safety, and we've come to admire each other's expertise, and Dan is certainly the one who has the answers to the questions that I don't. So I'm happy to have you with us today. And I want to just kind of start out, you know, you and I kind of came to where we are in somewhat similar paths. We both started off in the laboratory and learned the trade and learned the professions and learned the standards. And then we both kind of branched off because we found needs in the marketplace that weren't being met. So tell me and our listeners, Dan, how did you, Dan the Lab Safety Man, come to be?
Well, it's, I was a generalist, a lab tech for many years, like you said, and I enjoyed my job. And an opportunity for lab management came up when I was actually fairly young, probably too young to become a manager. But at the time, it didn't really stop me. And I applied for the job and got it and had a lot of learning along the way. And I did lab management for about 11 years. And I have to tell you, safety was not necessarily bright on my radar screen at that time. And I was working in a hospital, and it was being integrated with a larger system. We were bought, and the safety officer from that system came over and started asking me all kinds of crazy questions like, why is your break room refrigerator in the middle of your laboratory? And I thought, well, hello, there's no room in our break room for that. What's wrong with that? You know, stuff like that I really should have known. So I started to be intrigued by all these rules and regulations about safety that I really didn't know and really wasn't paying attention to as a manager. And then a position came open for that system safety officer. And I thought, wow, is it time for me to do this? After 11 years of management, is it time for me to really do this? And Terry Jo Geil came to town. She was a nationally known safety expert for labs, and she came to our local CLMA meeting to talk. And after the meeting, I went up to her and I said, you know, tell me more about this safety. Your presentation was awesome. How you teach, I'm so inspired by this. What do you think about a full-time laboratory safety officer job? Is that something I should do? And she's like, full-time? I never got to do that full-time. You can do it half-time, and you can do it right. And I thought, wow. So this opportunity is really something that I have. And then I went for it. And the hospital hired Terry Jo to sort of train me, but they couldn't afford to fly her all the way up to Norfolk from Florida at that time to do one-on-one training. So I signed up for her academy as a training session, and that was her first year of the academy. And we started working together, and she started liking the way that I thought. She said I thought a lot the same way that she thought, and started answering questions for her, started writing for her newsletter, and we started working together a lot. And I really loved the field. I really loved what I was learning, and she taught me so much about safety. And eventually, she decided she wanted to retire, and so we worked together to so that I would take over her business when she did. And that happened two and a half years ago, and she's still available if I need help. But really, all the customers work with me now, and the newsletter and books and things like that. And every once in a while, there's this phlebotomy expert who knows everything in the world about phlebotomy, and sometimes he'll ask me questions, and I'm just humbled and honored by that. But I also go to him when I need answers about phlebotomy and safety, too, so absolutely.
Yeah. So you and I both travel a lot. You both speak a lot. We meet a lot of people. I want to know, what kind of problems do you see that lots of laboratories have in common from a safety perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. A lot of laboratories, the majority of laboratories, from the people I see where I've gone and from the people who ask me questions, one of their biggest issues for safety is simply compliance with safety rules and regulations. And I know that's very broad, but starts out with PPE compliance, gloves, lab coats, face protection. And a lot of times when the safety person that I'm working with is there, compliance is better, but it's not always great. Sometimes the safety person has authority and can say something to the staff, and a lot of times they don't. In my role, in my full-time job, I oversee over 600 laboratory people, but technically I don't have any authority over them. I can't tell them what to do.
Uh-huh.
They tend to listen to me because I've been there long enough, and they know I'm going to say something to them. But that's one of the secrets to being successful in safety, is being persistent, having certain expectations, and living out those expectations. If you lose your credibility in safety, you know, if I come into work wearing mesh sneakers and I work in the lab with no gloves and no lab coat, my credibility is gone.
Yeah.
So that's a big, but I also see that in places where I work too. When the manager's gone, people tend to follow the rules less. When the safety officer isn't around, people tend to follow the rules less. And it's very unfortunate. Part of it is generational. There are people who've been working in the lab field for many, many years, and they just are complacent about safety and have never been injured. So they feel like they're protected by that history, which isn't very isn't very safe.
Right. It all has to do with consequences.
Right. And another part of my job, the way I see it, is to get management also to buy into the importance of safety for their sake and for the sake of their staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important piece of the picture, too.
Yeah. So what problems or practices do you encounter that make you feel like your head's going to explode? You know what I mean? I mean, we all run across these scenarios or these facilities in some places or some mindsets that just make you wonder, where have you been? What kinds of things drive you crazy?
It's so, to me, again, I think some of it is generational. Some of it, and when I say that, I think of the people who are coming into the field new these days and the technology. So cell phones, personal electronic devices. First it was music players in the lab, and of course that's an infection control risk unless that music player stays in the laboratory.
Yeah.
Cell phones are sort of a really big deal. There are a couple of social media pages for lab techs, and people are posting pictures all the time, and it just makes me cringe.
Wow.
I'm thinking of them using the cell phone, the things they're taking the pictures of, and but at the same time, these younger people coming into the lab, they have a better grasp, if you can believe it, of safety overall. They know more about standard precautions. They're much more aware of, oh, if I touch this, this is a dirty surface.
And
so I'm trying to find the connection. And that's making my head spin. How do I get them to connect that to technology and cell phones? They have this sense of awareness. I need to make them connect to it. So that really has been my biggest challenge lately, and I'm really thinking a lot about that.
Wouldn't it be easier if you could see every microbe with your naked eye?
Yeah. They have some great technology out there that infection control practitioners use. Mm-hmm. They spray this, you know, stuff on your hands and touch other things and use a black light.
Right.
That's a little hard to do in a laboratory setting, but something like that would be great.
Yeah, visuals always drive the point home. Unfortunately, too often it turns out to be the consequences of a lack of hygiene or lack of safety that teaches the lesson, and by then it's usually too late.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Laboratory acquired infections still happen, and laboratory accidents still happen where I work and across the country. And you know, whatever I can do to help reduce them, I would love to be able to do. Some of them are hard to hear. Some of the stories are very hard to hear. The consequences are very personal. Especially if you get an exposure from an unknown source, the things you have to go through are very difficult. And if I can get somebody to avoid that, that really is one of my goals.
Right. You know, I guess in many regards, your work and my work will never be done because there's all, because everything we do and try to reinforce is behavioral. And yeah, there's some engineering controls, so there's hardware and that kind of thing involved, but so much of it is behavior. And because we're creatures that have free will, we will never be hardwired to
Right.
adhere to the proper procedure and the standards for drawing a blood sample, nor the proper protocols for keeping us safe and our laboratories safe.
Right. It's one of my long-term jobs is raising safety awareness because it is behavioral.
Yep, absolutely. So tell me, what one experience have you had that brought you the greatest satisfaction?
Satisfaction. Okay. One of the first histology labs that I worked in as a safety officer, I was doing a safety audit, and I noticed that every morning when the pathologist would come in, he would come in with his cup of coffee into the gross room and say hi to everybody with his wide open cup of coffee, chit chat with everybody. And I did a safety audit, and part of the safety audits that I do involves opening all the drawers and cabinets and kind of looking through and seeing what's going on. Really, I'm looking for, unlabeled chemicals or things of that nature. But I found about 2 grocery bags worth full of food while I was doing that safety audit, and food items, cups, spoons, things
Wow.
like that. And I was so disappointed. And I took those 2 bags, they were like plastic bags. I took them and I dropped them on the pathologist's desk, and I said, "These are yours. This is the culture you engender by walking into this grocery room every morning and telling them that drinking coffee is okay. You went to medical school. You know more about infection control than anybody else in this room, and you're saying it's okay." And it was a little bit of a shocker, I think, to him. He and I had worked together for a long time in another capacity. He was a medical director where I was a lab manager and things like that. And we were both in new roles, and he became my champion. He became a
No
safety
kidding.
champion. To this day, he still jokes, when he sees me in the hall, "Oh, I'm going to the grocery room where I need to get my coffee, or I'm going to go chew some gum in the lab." But truly, he is a physician safety champion today.
No kidding.
And that was really I like to consider that one of my safety success stories for
Yeah,
sure.
it sounds like that was a real tipping point for that individual and that laboratory. And nobody
And the
gets,
lab, right.
yeah, and nobody gets there until they're ready to be tipped.
Yep, and
So,
today I can walk into that laboratory and I won't find one food item, not one.
wow, that
Yeah.
is a pretty significant feather in your hat. That's got to make you feel good.
It does, it really does.
Okay, so let's wrap this up and big picture stuff here, futuristic. What would Dan Scungio like to be his legacy?
Wow, yeah, that is a tough question. I really would like to say when my career is over in lab safety, I really would like to look back and say that a difference was made, a positive difference was made. Fewer people were harmed in the work of the laboratory. Fewer injuries occurred. Lives were better for people who work in labs because of safety awareness. That's really hard to quantify, I
Yeah.
know, but that's really why I do what I do. I want people's lives to be better. Some of these jobs in the laboratory are very, very difficult. And then you throw in a safety issue on top of it, or a life-altering injury that could have been avoided. Just I want those avoided. And that's what I through be it through books, newsletters, on-site education, whatever it is that I've done, I would like to be able to look back and know that a difference was made there somehow.
Well, that's a remarkable legacy, Dan, and it's one of those things that underscores how little you and I will ever realize the effect that we're having, because we will never know the accidents that we have prevented. And so we just have to assume that the lessons that we teach and the messages that we send out there are being applied, and that we're affecting people in ways that we'll never know. And there's some satisfaction in that, but it's true, our work will never be done. So that concludes our podcast today with Dan Scungio, the lab safety man. I want to encourage everybody to take a look at Dan's website for resources, danthelabsafetyman.com. And if you're in the dark about safety and or you just want to be amongst those who are striving to make your laboratory workplace a safer place, consider attending one of Dan's safety academies. Now, these are world-class premier events that will really get you in deep on how to change the culture where you work to make it a safer laboratory work environment.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
So take care, Dan. We will be in touch, and we'll look forward to maybe chatting with you in the future.